Time for a sofa upgrade? Introducing Anabe Sofas, where designer style meets budget-friendly prices. Every Anabe sofa is modular, allowing you to rearrange your space effortlessly. Perfect for both small and large spaces, Anabe is the only machine-washable sofa inside and out. Say goodbye to stains and messes with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics that make cleaning easy. Liquid simply slide right off. Designed for custom comfort, our high-resilience foam lets you choose between a sink and feel or a supportive memory foam blend. Plus, our pet-friendly, stain-resistant fabrics ensure your sofa stays beautiful for years. Don't compromise quality for price. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your living space today. Sofas start at just $699 with no-risk returns and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Get early access to Black Friday now. The biggest sale of the year can save you up to 60% off, plus free shipping and free returns. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
This is Tip TV Finance with me, Jenny Hammond and Zach Mayer. And joining us in the studio is Connor Campbell, a financial analyst for Spreadex. Connor, good to have you with
Thanks
us.
Thanks very much.
So you've got five slides for us today. We're going to start with the FTSE 100. So what's been happening there?
Well, once again, our clients don't really know what to do with the FTSE. You know, for the last few weeks, it's been sort of trapped between 7150, 7200 at the top. Our clients, again, there's no real clear definition with which way they want to see it going. You know, for such a long time, our clients have been selling the FTSE, and that sort of seems to come for an end in terms of being the dominant trend now. I think partly because the FTSE is sort of now reliant on what the pound does. The FTSE is now trading really in reaction to how the pound is reacting to, you know, certain Brexit news or whatever. So any bit of bad news tends to be absorbed by the pound and then, you know, sends the FTSE a bit higher. You know, for example, on Friday, the manufacturing industrial production figures are meant to see quite a sharp drop month on month. Now, if that's accurate, that is likely going to drag on the pound, which is already suffering because, you know, the uncertainty of the Brexit, the various Brexit votes this week. That could, you know, help push the FTSE above 7,200. The thing is, doing it that way hasn't really given it much momentum in the last fortnight or so. I think that's why it's been trapped between 7,100, 7,200. So like I said, our clients really not suggesting it's going to break out of either side of that, really. I think they're sort of sitting on their hands a bit to try and see what is going to be the next thing to send it, you know, a leg higher or a leg lower.
Yeah. Okay, so next slide.
It couldn't be any different with the Dow Jones. They really, really do not like it above 20,000. There's been sort of fairly aggressive selling since it recrossed that mark end of last week, start of this week. I think main reason is Trump is sort of just a big wild card at the moment. You know, some, you know, on a day-to-day basis, he's sort of saying things are either sending it, you know, 1% higher or dragging it down 100, 200 points. Then it's really hard to ascertain, you know, what is going to be the next thing he does. I doubt he particularly knows what the next thing he's going to do. You know, last week, you know, after a week of uncertainty and criticising, you know, Germany and Australia and China, you know, sort of causing the Dow to have a few jitters about, you know, Donald Trump's sort of fairly aggressive international stance. You know, he pulls out the Dodd-Frank repeal at the end of the week and, you know, sends it back above 20,000. I think that's why our clients aren't particularly interested in the Dow at the moment. Maybe not because it's going to see a dramatic fall below 20,000, but just because they don't really want to deal with the uncertainty of something so sort of, you know, tethered to...
But the easy move has gone, though. I mean, it was November to January, and that was the easy move.
Exactly. Now, you know, you had sort of the optimism of him coming into power, and now, you know, it's been a sort of an exhausting month, really, of day after day after day, sort of intense nonsense. And so now I think our clients are sort of just want away from it for a bit and give it a chance, give it a few months to see where it's going to be at once his policies start to actually take hold.
Okay, moving on.
Rio Tinto, you know, one of the major success stories of 2016. I think it was in, you know, top five performers of the FTSE 100. You know, made up, that list is basically made up of miners. You know, it was a huge recovery year for miners. You know, you had something like Anglo American jumping, I think, 260% by the end of the year. Rio Tinto, not quite as impressive as that, but it's still, I think, you know, a 50% rise on where it was at the start of the year. Our clients, you know, looking for that to continue. They're buying around that £34 mark. It's full year figures this week. I think it released its full year production figures back in January. They were fairly solid. I think iron ore roughly as expected, and aluminium, I think that was at record high production. Copper was the only major disappointment. However, that, and I think it sold around $2.5 million worth of assets to Yancoal at the end of January. Stuff like that has caused some analysts to sort of question whether Rio Tinto might announce a share buyback on Wednesday, or perhaps raise its dividend above the $1.10 promised earlier in the year. So I think from our clients' perspective, that's why they're buying around the £34 mark. I think they're just interested in Rio Tinto at the moment. They're happy where it is. They're fairly comfortable supporting it around at certain levels, even though it's dipped slightly in the last fortnight or so.
And moving on to Thomas Cook.
Thomas Cook, again, you'd think Thomas Cook had technically a pretty bad 2016, especially across the first half of the year, you know, a spate of terrorist attacks around the globe and the Brexit vote left it looking pretty dodgy in the middle of the year. Since then, however, as you can see by the chart, it's had a pretty sustained recovery, the key point being in November its full-year figures. The full-year figures, you know, the pre-tax profit, I think, fell 16%, not great. Revenue was flat at $7.6 billion, again, not great. However, it announced its first dividend, even though it was 0.5p per share, a first dividend for 5 years, that sort of wiped the negative away from investors' minds. They fully backed it, that you can see how sharply it jumped across, you know, the second half of November. Heading into its first quarter report this time around, I think investors will be looking for signs of a turnaround in Condor, which is its German airline. Back in the full-year figures, Thomas Cook said it was going to implement some kind of turnaround plan, Condor being heavily affected by the slowdown in Turkish trips. You know, that's been one of the key issues for Thomas Cook this year. I think that's been slightly mitigated by holidaymakers turning towards Spain and Greece, but it is still quite a big sort of trip base to lose heading into the new year. I think investors will also be looking forward. Thomas Cook said that it should be growth across 2017. Investors will be wanting for that to start to materialise in the first quarter. I think analysts are expecting its first quarter losses to widen slightly, but if the demand is there, I think Thomas Cook should do okay. From our clients' perspective, buying around the 90p mark, I think they're pretty happy with Thomas Cook and looking for it to continue its recovery into 2017.
Isn't that the case? I mean, it's the case that destinations might change for one reason or the other, but the overall spend or demand remains the same.
Exactly. I think Fankhauser, CEO Fankhauser said at the end of the full-year report that the Brexit hadn't really affected demand in the UK. If the demand in the UK is strong, you know, whilst Turkey is a loss, there are plenty of other hot places for holidaymakers to go that aren't noticeably any more expensive. So you have got, as long as demand remains strong for places like Spain and Greece and nothing happens in those countries in the coming months, Thomas Cook should be able to, maintain its recovery and perhaps, head towards £1, in a few months.
And finally, better news, my favourite social media site, Twitter.
And
do you think this turnaround is due to @RealDonaldTrump making his main sort of...
I think investors heading into the fourth quarter figures on Thursday, investors will be looking for some kind of substantial growth in the monthly active users, purely because Twitter has now become one of the key policy methods in America. And both Donald Trump's presence on Twitter and the interest that has caused, and, the social media backlash towards Donald Trump, increased outrage on Twitter. That's always good for social media. So Twitter will be looking for, I think, some kind of substantial growth and, active user base, daily user base, all of those things. I think you might see a bigger increase in daily users than monthly users, because it could be more that, the base that was there is now increasing their frequency on Twitter rather than bringing new people to Twitter. We'll see about that on Thursday.
The other thing is that we had the announcement of Snap Inc. is going to float. So the Snapchat is going to have a $25 billion price tag. Twitter at the moment is around $12 billion. So, maybe people do the math there and say, well, actually, either Snapchat's too expensive or Twitter's too cheap. But, they're in focus. They're in focus in a positive way.
No, definitely. I think also, the chart is a bit skewed at the moment because it had that sort of wild move at the end of October, start of November around takeover news. And, the huge surge on reports that someone's going to buy it. And then, the massive drop once those reports prove to be false. So I think the chart makes it look a bit worse than it perhaps is at the moment. Since the start of the year, it's risen approaching 8%. I think part of that will be due to Donald Trump's presence on Twitter. I think revenue is expected to jump 4% for the fourth quarter to around $740 million. Earnings not expected to be great, but in the third quarter it announced a 9% reduction of its workforce. It's pushing towards profitability, it's trying to cut costs so it can reach that goal. If it can update positively on those aspects and, positive progress towards, that aim, then I think, it could rise back above the $18 mark and beyond. Our clients certainly are heavily supporting around the $17.50 mark heading into Thursday.
Connor, thank you. That's Connor Campbell there, a financial analyst for SpreadX.
Black Friday is bringing the sunshine and the savings with Cheap Caribbean Vacations. Right now, you can score $500 off site-wide vacation packages when you book 4 nights or more. From Cancun to Aruba to Punta Cana, your next beach vacay is calling your name. It's the perfect time to book. What are you waiting for? Go to cheapcaribbean.com and get $500 off your next vacation today.
It never happens at a good time. The pipe bursts at midnight. The heater quits on the coldest night. Suddenly, you're overwhelmed. That's when Home Service here. For $4.99 a month, you're never alone. Just call their 24/7 hotline and a local pro is on the way. Trusted by millions, Home Serve delivers peace of mind when you need it most. For plans starting at just $4.99 a month, go to homeserve.com. That's homeserve.com. Not available everywhere. Most plans range between $4.99 to $11.99 a month your first year. Terms apply on covered repairs.